Welcome to Word on the Street, a weekly podcast from Barclays where our experts help ordinary investors make sense of the latest news and events impacting the world's financial markets.
Welcome back to Word on the Street. So Will is on holiday this week, having a well-earned break with family and maybe his Dachshunds, maybe not too. So Francis is back in the chair, but I've no doubt Will is listening in, perhaps even treating himself to some early Easter chocolate. But anyway, we'll do a quick whistle-stop tour today of markets over the past week, then pick up from last week's discussion by having a bit more of a look at central bank commentary, as well as consider the sustainability of the strong start to the year investors have, generally speaking, had. I've also noticed that the term the everything rally is starting to crop up more and more, so we'll get the latest from a team on the outlook in that respect as well. So Francis, should we start as ever with a quick recap of markets over the past week or so?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of a quieter week relative to last week?
Yes, this week has definitely been more on a quieter side, but today as we're recording it's going to be quite busy. Some of the US data hasn't quite come out yet. But yeah, so if we look back maybe a week or, 10 days or so, we obviously had quite a few central banks policy meetings. So the Federal Reserve, Bank of England, as well as the BOJ. So the message from the central banks meetings were effectively telling us that the next phase will be an easing cycle. This is with the exception of Bank of Japan, who have just obviously removed most of the easy policy they've had. So they've removed the yield curve control policy, and they've also increased their policy rates. So if we come back to the UK, so the Bank of England, the message from there is that they've shifted a little bit closer to the idea of cutting this year. So prior to this meeting, we still have elevated inflation. But given that the trend is more of a deflationary one, you're seeing more and more in the messaging of the Bank of England that they're comfortable with the idea of starting to cut rates this year at some point. So besides the central bank action, we've also had some of the manufacturing data. So these are the surveys, PMIs that we follow quite closely.
Will's always call it the kind of desert island indicator, hasn't he?
Exactly. And we follow it quite closely, and we followed various types. So again, the message from there is broadly that the US economy keeps doing quite well. It's expanding. And the UK, it's slowly picking up. So you're seeing some green shoots relative to what you saw towards the end of last year. And in the Eurozone, so in the Euro area, we're seeing labor costs come down quite sharply, which is quite an important input for the ECB's decision making. So in recent time, it's been a little bit more of a focused. And back to the UK, we had some inflation downside print. So inflation coming down by lower than was expected, which on the margin makes the Bank of England much more comfortable with the idea of starting an easing cycle soon.
Okay, good stuff. And just unpicking that bit around central bankers a little bit more, Sophie and Will did explore this a bit last week too. But I noticed that Catherine Mann, who's on the Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee, publicly said this week that markets maybe, in her view, have got a bit overexcited and now expecting too many rate cuts this year. And this is the kind of thing that I can imagine that some investors might potentially read and pick up on. Now, I know, Francis, that we regularly say the UK economy is a pretty low allocation to our portfolios and funds, but what are the team's thoughts there? Is there much to say? Could this argument maybe even be applied to the Fed in the US?
Yeah, sure. So if you compare the UK and the US, towards the end of last year, so in Q4 last year, there was this very big shift in the narrative of the Federal Reserve, so the US Central Bank. That's not something you've seen quite in the UK. So the Bank of England is still being a little bit more cautious in terms of those comments you mentioned. So yes, if we compare kind of a snapshot of now relative to a couple of months ago, markets have dialed back the expectations of interest rates cuts. So earlier on this year, I think markets were expecting something around 150 basis points, so something like 5 to 6 cuts this year. That now is much closer to 3 in the UK. So you can see there's been quite a big shift. Nonetheless, I think those warnings by Catherine Mann this week are somewhat justified, and more so also expected from a policymaker, right? They don't want to just give in to markets. So I'll say that although the inflation momentum is helping, it's declining, the level is still really high, especially relative to other developed markets. Wage growth in the UK is also still stickier than the Bank of England would have it. So if we look at the probabilities that are being implied by derivatives markets, you see that it's highest for the ECB to cut first in June. And after that is the US and then the Bank of England. So, yeah, you know, taking it all together, I don't think those comments were unreasonable. But, you know, as investors, as market participants, we obviously like to look forward. Mm. So, yeah, we're already pricing in some level of easing this year for the Bank of England.
Got it. Okay. And then picking up on that term I mentioned at the start, the everything rally, again, it's something that I'm just starting to see crop up in market commentary. We've seen it before. And I suppose the dovish tone from central bankers maybe sounds a bit contradictory based on what we've just said, but generally speaking, over recent months has perhaps fueled some of this, as well as the very well discussed and publicized developments and market expectations for AI or artificial intelligence. But if we look under the bonnet, it's not really just the top handful of US names that have had a good run of late, is it, that we've discussed many times before. It's important to look at other areas and also not just stocks and equities too, and look at the bond market. So what are you seeing in terms of what's performed so far?
So the tailwind for this, you know, everything rally, which you mentioned, again, goes back to Q4. I feel like I've said Q4 100 times in a couple of minutes. But yeah, again, it goes to Q4. So you saw this shift in the Federal Reserve. So they became explicitly more comfortable with easing this year. On the back of that, you saw a massive rally in all risk assets, so not just equities, but credit spreads have tightened since as well. There was also, so for most of last year, investors were expecting a recession. So the probability of a recession was quite high, not just for the US, but also for other countries. That now has come down substantially. So you're talking about, if we say a consensus expectation of something like 60% probability, that's cut in half. That's roughly around 30% now. So investors have become less bearish in terms of the growth outlook. That has also helped this everything rally, or to put it differently, it's increased risk sentiment. Outside of the US, as you mentioned, Japanese stocks have outperformed. In fact, they've outperformed all other regions. And the catalyst there is manifold. So Japanese stock indexes, they generally tend to do well when the currency weakens, or when the yen weakens. And this is primarily due to the larger exporter exposure in these indices. You know, exporting firms, obviously, they benefit from a weaker yen because their products are cheaper, they're more desirable. A weaker yen also means that profits that are being repatriated back get a little boost higher. There's more reasons, but those are some of the commonly held explanations. There's also a lot of attention being focused on the domestic Japanese corporate governance policy implementation. So again, historically, Japanese stocks have quite low valuations relative to their other developed markets counterparts for good reasons. Shareholder returns in Japan aren't always the best or the highest, but there's this big kind of shift there where you're seeing the regulators push these massive corporate governance initiatives to improve shareholder returns. And that's another tailwind for Japanese equities. And yeah, as I mentioned, outside of that, you've seen credit spreads come down, so high yield spreads in the US. EM has also improved, driven by China, where again, you've seen piecemeal regulatory action in China, which has helped the Chinese stock market, which has obviously pushed EM up as well. But I think broadly speaking, you know, Japan is probably the region that's worth highlighting.
Yeah, really interesting, Aaron. I saw Will was talking about Japan, China and other things last week on Asset TV, which is on his LinkedIn. So have a look at that if that's of more interest. But you can probably see where I'm coming next, Francis. We've discussed about the fact that generally speaking, it has been a relatively positive few months for investors, which is good. But that naturally leads to questions starting to arise again, such as, is this sustainable? Are we in sort of bubble territory in some parts of the market? You get the idea. What's the team's views on the outlook? Has it materially changed? I know we shouldn't get too excited about the short term, but just interested to understand a bit more behind that.
Yeah, of course. Yes, I think our team view has shifted somewhat. So we have this various indicators, you know, in-house that we've built, that we monitor, that tends to kind of inform us of roughly how much things are priced in or how much they're not priced in. And based on some of these metrics, we think a lot of the bullishness you've seen in equities, for example, they're not excessive. So obviously you've seen the market reach new highs, but investor sentiment towards equities is not at extremely bullish levels. So this is something that would probably tell us that the market's a little bit too frothy. I think there's a lot of concerns about the narrowness of returns, especially in the US. There's also some concerns about valuations being quite high. But, you know, there's no historical precedent that tells us that, you know, if a rally is driven by only a narrow set of stocks, that it means future returns are bad. That isn't the case. Historically, when you've seen sort of periods where the market rally has been driven by only a few names, what's important is the context. If the macroeconomic backdrop improves, so if you've seen revisions to the upside, you see the whole index catch up. If you see revisions to the downside or you see some kind of deterioration, then obviously stocks can sell off. But it's important to note that seeing, you know, new highs, seeing that the rally is being driven only by, you know, a small number of stocks, that in and of itself is not necessarily bad. And then also on the valuation point, I'd also argue that while valuation is an important metric, something that should be considered, it is not necessarily a cyclical indicator, right? The level of PEs does not tell us where stocks will be in the next 3 to 6 months, right? You're talking further out, a couple years, perhaps 5 years, maybe. So obviously we're focusing quite a bit also on the tactical side.
And that's just small tweaks around the edges.
Exactly.
Not a trading indicator or anything like that.
No. But yeah, so those are the points I would sort of mention. So as it stands, you know, if I put all of this together, I think there is probably some more upside in equities from here, I would say, assuming, you know, conditional on the macroeconomic backdrop not deteriorating.
And I suppose also going back to the comments earlier, remember it's not just equities that clients have exposure to in our
portfolios.
You
want to have a little bit of everything, all weather at all times, right? That's the way forward. And that's what history will tell you is best to do.
Fantastic. Look, we'll keep it relatively brief this week because I'm conscious we have a long weekend coming up. So for those celebrating Easter, have a fantastic time and we'll speak again next week.
All investments can fall as well as rise in value and their past performance is not a reliable indicator of future performance. This podcast is not a personal investment recommendation.